Welcome to the weekly online radio show, Your Sales Doctors. Each week we discuss success strategies to the current sales and sales management challenges we hear from our listeners and clients. If you would like a topic or a question discussed on our show, please go to www.yoursalesdoctors.com. And now, your hosts, Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Bobby Welch here. You are on Your Sales Doctors. I've got Pat Sherlock with me.
Hey, Bobby.
How are you?
Good, good.
Are you ready for another good episode?
Yeah, it is. And this is another topic that's dear to my heart. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. What we're going to talk about today is the self-paced training, this, especially now that the web is so popular, people sitting down and using these internet-type modules to train their sales force, and why that doesn't work, at least when it comes to increasing volume and actually making a difference in the day-to-day sales. So I don't know, Pat, where do we start with this one? It's a big topic.
It is a big topic, and certainly is a trend line, as you've already mentioned. I think the benefits, I guess let's start on the positive side, the benefits of sticking an originator in front of a PC is certainly there's no physical logistics issue. You can certainly handle a large number of students, and it helps if the material, if it's just a black and white material. So for sure, self-paced training, on-demand training, or whatever you want to call it, has become increasingly popular for all those obvious issues. On the negative side, and this is the real issue that applies to sales training, if the material changes, and I would tell you that sales, prospecting to closing, are events that change, the self-paced or on-demand where you're sitting the employee in front of a PC or on their phone is not an appropriate way if you want to see behaviors that translate into outcomes. So again, there is a proper use for this type of training, but when it comes to sales training, it's not a good use.
Yeah. Let me say it another way and get your take on it, because I'm actually a fan of this internet-based self-paced training in certain situations. You know, I think if you're training somebody on policies, procedures, maybe some compliance things that they need to remember, you know, even some systems training, I think self-paced training is great. And, you know, if it's the type of information where they just need to kind of pass a test and remember the information for later, I think it's great. I think if you are, and I think to your last point, if it's the type of training that needs to be turned into new skills or new habits out in the real world, then it starts to fall apart.
Well, I would agree with you completely. And that really ties back to if the material is the same, and by that I mean if there is right and wrong answers. For instance, with policies, I do think certainly regulations, all of that, self-paced learning, on-demand learning is appropriate. But this whole arena of sales, and I see this in particular with rookie programs, is that the solution set being used by companies is, well, okay, we'll do internet learning and hopefully they're going to be absorb it. There's no research that will support that. And it does not match with how adults learn today. Again, this is sales by itself is a highly changeable topic that requires emotion. There's a lot involved with it. So teaching a rookie through this methodology is something that is not going to be very successful. And I see so many companies kind of opting for that way. But in the end of the days, again, I don't really see, there's no success track record. In fact, it's been, I think, one of the reasons why many rookie programs in mortgage industries haven't really worked.
Yeah. You know, this is when I'm talking to some of my clients about the topic. This is the way I describe it. You can sit down and you can create an online, on-demand, you know, available 24/7, click the button now course on the rules and the strategies around American football. I can take that and I can understand everything from basic rules to even some of the most common plays that you'll see a team make. And I can pass that with an A. but then hand me a football and throw me on the field and see what we do.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's the gap that we're talking about, right?
Right. And I think sports is a perfect analogy for this issue. And, you know, how do you learn golf? It's the same deal. You can read, you know, all the books you want, but it is a complex topic. And I think that's the end point, really, for our listeners today on truly complex topics like sales and the sales journey. An on-demand passive kind of methodology is not likely to be retained. Now, on the other hand, things that are black and white, a lot of the compliance stuff, those are things that there's only a right answer and there's not. And that, when I'd say that's really where it is appropriate. So there is a good use and then there is a bad use. In particular, the bad use is on the sales side. And expecting a rookie to really be able to absorb the complexity of dealing with a human being and trying to sell to them. I've spent 25 years analyzing this topic. It's not that easy and it's highly complex. And so there is just not a chance that they will be successful unless they have a more robust type of approach applied, which kind of leads to the next question. If you're teaching sales, let's say we're talking prospecting, how would you suggest, Bobby, from your viewpoint, the managers to teach that topic?
So I'm going to actually step backwards a little bit, because I am okay with the starting place of a topic starting in a self-paced format. So I'm, you know, if a company has a prospecting module and they have somebody watch it first, I think that's an okay introduction to answer common questions and get the basic ideas of prospecting out to somebody. So I'm okay with it starting there, but I then one has to very quickly move to are what I will call real world and real time reinforcement opportunities, things like role playing, having a manager or senior person shadow them in the field as they're doing the activity that you just trained them in real time after they've role played it for a while, and then micro training over time to then that new skill, drive it deeper, add advanced concepts and things like that. Ideally, that's the line that I would bring somebody through, kind of those four steps.
Well, I think you're right on with that. I think I'd rather kind of subset it in the aspect that there is a place for this self-paced learning, but you have to recognize that it's not going to accomplish everything that you're looking to accomplish. And I want to make the big point that I often mention when I'm doing consulting is that at the end of the day, and this really does apply to rookies for sure, is that the greatest learning happens with a peer-to-peer conversation. And so that's a live classroom. And it's not popular in the training world today to do that. A lot of companies are opting for, let's give them a PC and hopefully they'll get it. But the impact of peer-to-peer learning is very critical. And especially when you're teaching someone that's new to our industry, you need to really have that happen. And it can happen if the person is just sitting from a PC and trying to learn how to do prospecting for a referral source. There needs to be that peer-to-peer impact. And that does not happen unless it is a live situation.
Yep. Now, by live situation, would you say that, like, maybe a live video call where you've got, you know, 8 or 10 of the peers in real time looking at each other, interacting with what they just learned, would that qualify?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure the technology is certainly there now more so than ever. And I think video conferencing is a definite way to go. Even GoToWebinar can be a video format. So no question, but rarely, and let's be honest, unless you're dealing with other lenders that I'm not, I don't see them being used that often. And I just see them, well, let's put them in front of his PC. And the truth of the matter is that is not the solution set. So again, Peer impact is using technology. But I mean, I have conversations every day. I had one just this morning where I asked, did they have a webcam attached to their PC? And like, wow, that was such a radical question. And every laptop does have a webcam to it.
They all sure do.
You know, they all do. So
they're like $50 on Amazon.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I would say what is live is certainly being redefined, but it's an interaction component that has to happen. And I think certainly running a bunch of PowerPoints is not highly interactive. And I think all of that is opting for poor sales results. And so when managers complain about training not working, well, the truth of the matter is it hasn't been designed correctly.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, something we haven't talked about, maybe we can just spend a minute on it, is, you know, why are these blind spots still here? And, you know, I've been in the big companies and I've sat in the meetings as we're talking about training and sales training, sat in the boardroom as the big guns are reviewing their options. And I think part of the problem is that inside their training department, you know, many of these companies, they have very talented trainers and they've got some excellent resources. But, you know, training sales is different. And these trainers don't have sales backgrounds, the corporate trainers.
Sure.
And, you know, so you don't know what you don't know. And so that creates blind spots. So those guys can get really excited about the web-based training and even some limited interaction. And they can sometimes build pretty good content. But again, you need those other steps to turn it into actions and habits and skills. And so they fall short there. Not that they're doing it on purpose. It's just, you know, again, and they haven't been out there and done the job in a very excellent way on the sales side. And then unfortunately, a lot of the popular training companies right now, you know, they're not always looking at what's the best way to develop the habit or skill. For them, they're in love with web-based training because right. it's so scalable and it, right. you can put it on autopilot and you can focus on marketing and sales and not so much on delivery. And it's just a very profitable way to do it. And it's actually difficult, the prices that are charged, it's difficult for them to stay with somebody in real time long enough to do the skill building and the habit forming that's needed. So, you know, just that's more of a weakness and almost a difference in goals.
Right.
At least that's what I see. I mean, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think that's where training in mortgage banking has gone. And I think, unfortunately, it's also the reason why most training hasn't been effective and hasn't produced results. At the end of the day, the whole point of changing habits and instilling a new skill is to get a result. A lot of times, what I end up seeing, it's almost that the company feels compelled to give it to them. So they pay X for it. Then they hope something's learned. There's no reinforcement. It's almost a tool because they recognize the manager isn't going to be training that, okay, well, if you sit in front of the PC, you'll learn our business. That's not a good way to do it. I see it's a lot of wasting of money. And I think you hit the nail on the head that it does help the training company because it's scalable. They only have to develop it once. And so they just plop it out there and hope for the best. But I think when it comes to sales side, that's a dangerous strategy. And again, the point that I'm emphasizing, it's great for simple kind of what I would call black and white topics, but the sales part itself and the prospecting and dealing with different human behaviors, that's something that you need really a live interaction with it. Certainly doing that through utilizing webcams, you can do that. I mean, again, it should be something that most companies would allow, but certainly what I see is companies don't even let their employees have a webcam, you know, and they don't even know they have one on their laptop. So again, and I think it's very important. If you look at the most successful training efforts, which would be the armed forces, I think the armed forces they are the ones that we should look at on how they take someone who does not know anything about being an armed service person and they move them into being effective quickly and operating within a team environment. And a lot of that's done through, again, how they utilize the peer-to-peer component, which I think a lot of times with training, that part's really skipped. And that's why, you know, nothing really changes. And at the end of the day, when you really do look at a lot of the rookie programs that have been rolled out by some of these companies, they really haven't worked. I mean, they've worked somewhat, but the truth of the matter is sales is a complex topic, and that requires a recognition that it's it really does involve advanced training techniques.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some solution sets and some key things that an executive or even a branch manager should look for as they're evaluating or setting up sales training.
Well, I think the first point is that, and I go through this exercise myself all the time when I'm dealing with clients, I think you have to ask the question, the first very basic question, what is the outcome that you're looking for? What is it that we're looking to be learned and to become a habit? And I think, again, what I'm seeing is that they don't ask this question. And as a result, what ends up happening, the training doesn't have a focus to it. So first step in my mind is that what are the outcomes that we're looking to basically train this person on? Thoughts on that one?
I think that's the, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I think some trainers and coaches are afraid of having the conversation, you know, how will we measure success for their activities?
Yes.
Well, I would they fear the topic. Yeah. But I think it's important, especially at least for me personally, because I don't like to be involved with projects that don't create value.
Right.
But then also for the long-term success of the industry and a habit that we need, it's crucial. So.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
I have to admit, I'm pretty black and white. You know, I think it has to result in quantifiable actions that we know lead to sales, and then quantifiable sales. It's really like, for me, it's that black and white. And if it doesn't lead to that, then why the heck are we spending time and money on it?
No, I would agree. And I think really the outcomes are your first component that I would say is your first step as a leader. And the second part is exactly what you're saying. You know, let's measure them. How are we going to measure it? I would not do any training unless I have tied together an outcome that is measurable. And then from there, then you design what the training will look like. And it has to have a components of what we know without our learning principles is what is effective today. Obviously, that's role-playing, that's case studies, that's a whole different side of it, peer-to-peer conversations. So you have to have it designed in the class. So they would be the three steps that I would suggest. And I think that when you follow those three steps, you're going to have a very powerful program.
Yep. And, you know, something that I've done, just to make it super easy to evaluate the training, both that I develop and that I've looked at purchasing as myself, is, you know, I'm looking at what activities are taking place in the training program that does one of three things. And I need activities in all three for me to consider it a program that worthwhile. And the first one is, what steps are transferring knowledge? You know, whether it's classroom style, live webinar, self-paced training, you know, how are we going to transfer the knowledge? Step one. The second one is, how are we going to build the skill? So that's, you know, take the memorized NFL rule book and actually have someone be able to go out in the field and play football and actually run drills and do it in the real world. And then the last one is, what's going to be done to create a habit? So, you know, it's one thing to understand how to have somebody call the play and then you run the play, but you don't want to have people think about it. So, you know, how do we turn that autopilot so that it happen and create that habit? If a program has steps for each of the three, then I think that's at least a program worth considering.
Right. And I would like to leave with the final comment that, again, self-paced learning is appropriate for certain types of topics. I am suggesting, and certainly what we're discussing now, is that on the sales, which is a much more critical thinking type of activity, it involves a much different approach. And really, Bobby, I think your three steps are terrific and really what needs to be done.
Yeah, great. And what I would leave people with is, outsourcing the knowledge is great. Outsourcing even the skill building is great. But if you're not prepared to have your management team engaged so that the habits are created over longer periods of time, then you may get some results, but you're not going to really maximize them.
That's for sure. Well, this is a great topic. We could go on and on. So, but I want to thank everybody for listening today, and certainly let us know other topics that you would like us to cover. And otherwise, have a great sales week.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Great as always. And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thanks a lot, Bobby. Bye-bye.